always enjoy coming to this meeting. You know, you're easy to talk to. Did you know that about you all? When she called, I thought, sure, I'd like to come there. Who would not like to come here, right, Miss Ogdy? Oh, boy. Because you're all so easy to be with. We were in New England on Monday and Tuesday of this week, so we drove 700 miles to Maryland. This is the life of an evangelist wife that lives in a motorhome and travels. She's an evangelist wife that flies from place to place. You only fly twice? Oh, you drive most of the time? Oh, yeah. But anyway, so then we drove Wednesday and Thursday, and then we had services Thursday and Friday night. Oh, it's a busy week, but when my husband heard somebody was in need, he just said we could work it out. And of course, Barb's helping drive me around because I'm too old to be keeping this big busy of a schedule. So praise the Lord for being here. And I just love you ladies. I just want you to know that. It's just so fun that you're all so upbeat. Are you like this at home? I hope you are. I hope you're not witches at home. And then you're so nice here with me. I hope that's true. But we'll find out, right? We'll definitely find out. I'm going to talk today to you. I've been praying, saying, Lord, which one should I go first on? But I think I'm going to change and go to the first one, is I messed up again. That's what I'm going to talk about today. I messed up again. Has anybody here ever messed up on anything? Oh, you relate to me then, huh? Oh, boy. And isn't it hard when you mess up? You know, it's like you can't fix anything. Now, I don't want you to raise your hand, but there are people here that are divorced, right? There are people here that left a church, and after a few weeks, you think, why did I leave? You know, there's people here like that. There's people here that, you know, you spanked the kid and he didn't deserve it, right? Amen. And I always felt like when I spanked them, they didn't deserve it, that they probably deserved it for something else, right? But I think that all of us have that tendency to just crucify ourselves when we messed up. And so I'm going to talk to you about, it's like a Bible study. That's why I decided I'm just going to do it first, because it's such an interesting Bible study. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Lord, please be with us. It's all in vain unless you meet with us and help us to see you and feel your presence. Please empower us and help the ladies as they listen to pay attention, and we'll give you the praise for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. When you mess up, you have to forgive yourself. That's the big part of when you mess up. Open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles 33. 2 Chronicles 33. This is a Bible study I did, and I was so excited about it that I thought, I'm going to share it with other people. I don't know about you, but I do a lot of Bible studies. This morning I got into one, and I thought, I got to shut this down. It was getting really good. But I want to make the Bible so much a part of my life that my thinking is affected by it. You know, and when people talk to me and they say, Loretta, you grew up in a troubled home. You know, you had an alcoholic father, three alcoholic brothers. You know, you had you got a lot of troubled people in your life. And we're from West Virginia. You all don't, I don't know if you North Carolina girls understand that, you know. But they just hurt each other. You know, like one person will talk bad about the other person, and then the other person will talk bad about that person, you know, and you just don't even know who you're talking to, what they're going to say about you when they go to the next person. You know, that's the kind of family I grew up in. And my mom's like Granny on the Beverly Hillbillies. You know who Granny is? Kind of explosive, you know. She's 80-some years old. She's still very explosive. But you know, when you grow up in that kind of a situation, getting saved doesn't fix all the problems. You know, so if you're sitting here and you're more of a sensitive type person and you still have not forgiven yourself for something, you got to use the Word of God to help you. I got a new book coming out. It's called Scriptural Solutions. It's 52 feelings and what to do with those feelings. You say, wow, is that interesting? I hope it's interesting. I made that book up for myself in 1995, long, long time ago. Now, it sounds ancient. So is anybody here that was born after 1995? I knew you were going to raise your hands. It makes me feel old. But that's okay. That's okay. But 1995, I made my own book like this. That it's just every time I had a feeling, like when I was mad, you know, I'd just look up all these verses on anger. And then I made a page of anger verses. And so then when I got angry, instead of saying, see how that person made me mad? Because I like blaming other people. How about you? When you get in sin, do you like to blame somebody else for your problems? Amen, Loretta, I'm there. So, when I was envious of somebody, you know what's hard for me, Miss Mary, is when I go to somebody's home. Can I be honest with you? I have to fight that old envy thing because I don't have a home. You know, I got this motor home that drives down the road, and that's all probably I'll have the rest of my life. God didn't choose to give me a house. It's okay. Don't feel sorry for me because I do have a motor home. You don't have that, do you? See, I'm better off than you are, Miss Ogden. She has to live in motel rooms everywhere she goes. Well, now, wait a minute. No cleaning, no cooking. Maybe that's not so bad. But anyway, so I had a problem with envy. And so I looked up envy in the Bible. And did you know envy is a two-person thing? You're just envious about one other thing. Jealousy is usually a three-person. You're jealous about another person. It's interesting. Do you see what I'm saying? But so I looked up all these verses on envy. And so when that old sin of envy would hit me, I'd just look up verses. So what I'm trying to say to you is the Bible can change your feelings. Those of you that have been, you're imprisoned by your feelings. Some of you here, you're pretty moody people. You know what I mean? That's why I say you're all here and you're all nice and everybody's all wonderful. And then you go home, oh, shut up. I don't want you to, you know, and your husband said, the witch is home. You know, and some of you, when your husband comes home from work, he throws something in to see what's going to happen. If it comes back out the door, he knows to stay out for a few more minutes. Go to the garage. Some of you have a husband that's got your garage all set up with a television, remote control, all that. If she's having a bad day, I'm going to the garage. And you say, good for you. Get away to me. I don't want to see you. No, depending on what you... But what I'm saying is our feelings. But the Bible can change your feelings. Now, that's what I'm telling you. This is something that could change your feelings if you allow God to do it. 2 Chronicles 33, 1 and 2. The Bible says, Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, but did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. We see here a king that was evil. Now, evil is when you intentionally do wrong things. That's what, when the Bible talks about the word evil, it's an intentional thing. You know, a lot of us do bad things, I might accidentally run into you and knock you over and you break something. You know, it's not evil because I didn't plan it. You know, sometimes, though, when I'm saying bad things about people, Miss Wendy, if I came to you and talked bad about Miss Mary and how crazy she is and how she's so entertaining, but she's so crazy, and she's got a spot on her... you didn't tell them, so I thought I should, just in case they do come close enough to see it. She had somebody that worked on it. She spilled orange juice on herself. Are you at the age where you need a bib? Yes, yes, yes. Just kidding you. But when you talk bad about somebody and you think it and you plan to say it, you know how you Southern girls go, bless their heart. You know, you say something bad and then you say, bless her heart. You know, that doesn't really, it's still evil. I just want you to know that. Following through with something nice doesn't mean it takes away the evil. But here it says Manasseh did evil. Now, if I was God and I had a king that did evil things, you know, I'd just go zap him and get rid of him, right? How many are with me? I sort of write people off. When they do bad things to me, I just sort of say, okay, I just won't talk to you anymore. Somebody in the church gives me a bad time, I'll just avoid them. I'll walk all the way around the church just to stay away from that person, right? Are you with me on this? Amen. I love it when you're right with me. Going down a few verses, 2 Chronicles 33, 9 and 10. So we see here that Manasseh was evil. But then look, so Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err. Not only was he evil, but he made other people do wrong things. And look what it says, and to do worse than the heathen. He influenced them to the point where they not just do bad things, but they did worse than the heathen. Now, you teenage girls, let me help you understand something. You, because there's such peer pressure, you have that ability to make somebody do wrong things. You know, Manasseh was a king, so people sort of did things because he said it was right to do. And they respected him, they followed him, you know, did wrong. But with teenagers, they sort of influence each other to do wrong things, you know, and do worse than the heathen, it says. And the Lord spake to Manasseh. God said, you got to do something. And to his people, that last phrase, I hate it, but they would not hearken. Oh, so sad. God even tried to get his attention to say, you got to stop this. And he still would not listen. 2 Chronicles 33:11-13. This is the good news. See, I am not like God. You know, when somebody does something wrong, you know, I sort of would like to write them off. I have often prayed for sickness to come on somebody's life. In my younger years, I thought that was a good thing to do, you know? You know, they've done wrong to me. Zap them, God. Get them. You know, you all have never done that? How many have never done that? Oh, good. I was going to say, I'm not around people that relate to me. In my younger Christian years, honest and truly, I'll be honest. I prayed for one of my brothers to get right with God, and I said, I don't care what you do to get him right with you. You know, I just said, do something. Because he was driving a bus and living for God, and his wife pulled him out of church, you know, and all this. And I said, just do something, you know. And God did give him a sickness. You know, he's lost. He only has peripheral vision. You know, what I don't know if I caused that, but I did. I remember when it happened, I thought, okay, God, I got more power than I thought. But what I'm saying is, you know, God tried to get his attention, tried to get him do right, and he still wouldn't. But God is long suffering. And those out there that you've done something wrong, you know, you've got things that you're ashamed of. You know, in my Christian life, Miss Lisa, I've done some things that I don't get up in public and talk about. I talk about a lot of mess-ups that I do, don't I? I'm pretty open about how awful I am. I just told you I prayed for people to be sick. What more can I say? But I think our God, he looks down and he understands us. He knows we're just dust. So look in 2 Chronicles 33:11-13. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the kings of Assyria. And let me just say, God used Syria a lot in the Old Testament to bring his people back to himself. You know, he used Assyria a lot to bring judgment upon his people. Which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. So he went into captivity. You know, here we see he messed up. Then he made other people to mess up. Then the Bible says that God tried to get him to come back to him, and he would not hearken. Then the Bible says that God took him into captivity to try to get his attention. And when he was in affliction, the Bible says he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of the fathers and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him and heard his supplication. So God still will listen. Those of you that have messed up, you can ask God for forgiveness, and he'll forgive you. And you know who keeps bringing it up in your mind? Satan. He wants to make you feel defeated. You know, he wants to remind you when you mess up. Oh, bless your heart, I've been there. Can you buy me a pizza for that? I'm trying to find out who has it so I can see how much money she has later on. No, I'm kidding. It's okay. It's not a big deal. I'm going to keep on going. So then the Bible says, and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. So not only he messed up, got other people to mess up. God tried to get him to get right. He wouldn't listen. God brought him into captivity. He humbled himself, said, I'm so sorry, God. And God brought him back to his kingdom, restored him to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Now, you know what? I have messed up a lot in my life. Have you ever said something and you wish you could bring it back, take it back? Oh, you know, those of us that talk a lot have mouth, will travel. That's what I am. I was in a church and my daughter got married in December. A lot of y'all know about that. She was 28 years old when she got married, and praise the Lord for a man that God brought in her life. We're happy for her. But before that time, we'd go to churches and people would always try to set her up. And sometimes I felt like they were trying to set her up with the losers of the church. You know, losers. You know what I'm saying? You're shaking your head. You know, any of you have older children, or you are an older person. Everybody's trying to set you up with all these handicapped people. Not handicapped physically, but mental. No. Handicapped in their spiritual life. Let's say it that. You know, if she married him, maybe he'd straighten his life out. You know, that they do think that way. You know. But anyway, so this lady was trying to set Jeannie Mae up with somebody, and I just, you know, I don't know. It was just one of those days when I just got tired of hearing it. Do you know what I'm saying? And I just went off, like, and said all these big statements, and I talked too much. You know what I mean? And so a couple days later, that lady asked to talk to me privately in a room. And we went on that room, and all of a sudden I found out I had said some really offensive things to her. You know what I mean? It's like, and now what I learned from Mrs. Evans years ago, when, you know, the Bible says to agree with an adversary, you know. So instead of defending myself, you know, automatically I just start shaking my head yes. Because I want to say no. It's psychology. So I said, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to say that. I didn't know it would come out like that. I didn't, you know, and I just started, you know, doing all that, you know, and I did apologize after about 20 minutes, you know, it was all over, and I hope the lady's forgive me, and she'll never remember, and what I learned from that lesson is, don't tell that lady what I really feel. Right? No, that was number one, and that's good, you know, to mark them, you know, mark them, don't tell them what you really feel. Be very careful, and is there anything wrong with realizing there are people in your church that you need to be careful what you say to? That doesn't mean they're bad. It just means that they have sensitive areas. You know, I've got sensitive areas. When I sign your Bible and you say, I can't read that, that would hurt my feelings. Because I am sensitive about my handwriting. You know, I'm being serious here. I'm not, you laughed like, but I am sensitive about my handwriting. And so, you know, don't say that to me. And if you say, don't say to me, oh, yeah, because I've said that, you say, oh, what beautiful handwriting. I'll think you're lying. But I messed up, you know, and I walked out of that room, felt totally like a big dummy, and I had worked for years to try to win this lady to myself. You know, I'm not kidding, I've been going to that church for many, many years, and I had worked at trying to get her to like me, because we're so opposite, you know how that is? And so I had really worked hard at it, and then I thought, I blew it, you know, and I walked out of there so dejected. But you know what? I messed up. And I'm still telling the story because it's funny. And I'm hoping you relate because all of you have said things you shouldn't have said. Now, have you ever done something you shouldn't have done? Last year, I was getting ready for Jeannie's wedding. And I get my mail sent to me once a month, usually. I have to say that, usually. Because I do mess up sometimes and don't do it. Such is the case last year. I didn't send the mail to me in August. So July and August, mail got to me in September, and we were in California. And I got the mail, and I was going through it, and I saw notices from my insurance company. You guessed it. Our insurance had been canceled. You know how when you make a big mistake like that, I just sat down in my chair, and I texted all the kids, said, don't come around for about an hour. Leave me. Because I knew I had to get over that. I mean, we got big rigs, and in California, you know how weird they are in California? You know, if we'd had a wreck, I mean, we'd have been ruined. Our ministry would have been ruined forever. But for the grace of God. I mean, because, you know, those big rigs. Oh, I just kept thinking of all the things that could have happened, you know, with our insurance being canceled. And I thought, oh, you know, it's because I didn't pay the premium. It wasn't because we were bad. But it's because I didn't pay the premium because I thought they were all due in January. But I figured it all out now. Believe me, I got it down really good. Try to learn from my mistakes. But for an hour there, for about the first 30 minutes, I just sat there and thanked God for his protection. You know, and I really didn't want the kids to come around me because I wasn't fit to be around anybody. I was so mad at myself. Have you ever messed up and you're just so mad at yourself? I remember one time years ago, I bought this hair piece. You know, it was back in the day when everybody was trying to add to their hair and it got hair piece. And I bought this hair piece. And I was so tickled because Kevin likes long hair, but I just don't have enough hair. And I think when it gets long, it makes me look like an old woman. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how to explain it. But anyway, I just didn't. So I thought, oh, I'll get an extension. So I went to this place and I bought this extension. It was probably $50, $60, something like that. You know, it wasn't, you know, just a little $10 deal. And so I came home and I walked in and Kevin said, "What'd you do?" And when he asks questions like that, I think there's something wrong. You know what I mean? I said, I bought an extension. I said, what do you think about it? And I turned around like this, and he said, "It doesn't match your hair." Those people, and they're in that, whatever that salon was, they put it in. I thought it looked, but I kept asking, "Does that match?" And they said, "Oh, yeah, it looks beautiful." Yeah, sure. You know what I mean? And it didn't match. I never wore it again. $50, $60 down the tube. You know, you just hate, you know, wasting your money like that. And don't you feel stupid? You know, have you ever bought an outfit and you think, "Oh, this is going to look so good." And you get it home, you put it on, and you lost the receipt, and this person, they won't take this back. And, you know, all these things. But we all mess up. You know, it's a daily occurrence for me. You know, I'm not kidding. I mess up on a daily occurrence. But I've got to forgive myself. Because if I don't forgive myself, then it affects my spirit. You know, if I came in here all mad at myself because of the mistakes I made, I wouldn't be any fun talking to you. You know, you wouldn't enjoy being around me because I'm so into myself and thinking how bad I am and how stupid I am for making that mistake. You know, it's all those things. So Manasseh, you have to forgive yourself. He teaches us that. We have to forgive ourselves. Self-forgiveness means to repent. Repent. 1 Corinthians 15:9-10, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." Paul, of course, is talking here. And who messed up more than Paul? I mean, he killed Christians. Even after he got saved, I would believe it'd be very hard to think and look back on your life and say, "I killed people. And I was self-righteous and thought I was working for God doing it." I can't imagine how Paul felt in his first few years of Christianity. You know, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. Grace is given to you. He forgives you with his grace, so you forgive yourself. Use grace on yourself. And one of the things about repentance is when you know, the word guilty is not in the Bible. You know, it's really, you try to, it's not there. But repent means I feel sorry for my sin and I turn from it. That means you try to fix it. Like, I have a way that I fix that I'm not going to mess up again for the insurance. I got it down. I made a system. I just try to fix it. Well, my husband came up to me one time and he said, "Loretta, I've asked you to get these pants." He had these wind pants. I call them wind pants. You know, they're real lightweight pants, and he sleeps in it. And they're so light, he just likes the feel of them and all that. And he said, "I've asked you to get these for me." And he said, "You've never found them." And I, the big personality that I am, all of you that are big personalities, you relate to me. And I said, "Well, I've looked everywhere for them." Right? You know, and I, in my little pea brain, I thought I had, you know. But my husband's not an exaggerator. You know what I mean? He's very, and he said, "Oh, you've looked everywhere?" And he said, "Tell me where you've looked." "Well, I've looked at Walmart and Kmart, and, you know, because that's the places I go all the time. And I know at least one time I'd looked." You know, this is not something he asked for, you know, last week. He asked for it a long time ago, and he kept hoping that I'd find something, you know. And how many of you are like me? I want to say, go find it yourself. You know, I'm serving you. I'm doing all this for you. You go find it yourself. You ever feel like that? Come on. You all got to be mean like me. But anyway, so when he said that, you know, the Holy Spirit smote me, and I said, you know, he's supposed to be number one in my life, and I'm supposed to be making him feel important, and, you know, and I shouldn't be doing more for everybody else than him. And so I said, okay, I'll find him. So that, I repented. I said, "I'm sorry. You're right. I haven't really looked as much as I should. You know, I'm going to find him." So I went out shopping the very next day, and I went to all these different types of stores that I'd never been to. One of them was called Dick's Sporting Goods. Has anybody ever been to a Dick's Sporting Goods? I'd never been in there, didn't know anything about it. Now, one of the things about me when I'm shopping is I always look at the price tag first, right? How many of you are that conservative like me? I mean, I won't even look at something unless I'm in a thrift store, you know, because it's all the same price. I won't even look at something unless I look at the price tag first, because I don't want to like it and then have to give it up, you know, for the price. So, but in there, I had already made my mind. No matter what it costs, I was going to find that pair of pants like that. So I went around the store feeling pants. Now, nobody was in the pants. Just want to make sure y'all understand that. You're not going to go out here and say, Loretta goes to stores and feels men's pants, you know. I wasn't saying that. I just went around to all the, you know, and I started feeling pants. Oh, and Jeannie, does this feel like it? Does this feel like? And I found a pair of black ones that felt like it, and they had some kind of a special insignia on it. Well, you know, I don't know name brands. You know, I didn't even look at the price because I knew if I looked at the price and it was too high, my repentance would go flying out the door. Right? So I got to the cash register, checked out, $70. For a pair of pants he's going to sleep in every night. Nobody's going to see him but me, and I don't care what he looks like when he goes to bed. So I'm like you. I hope I'm like you. I hope you're like me. I left the price tag on it, thinking. However, my husband is not the kind of person that looks at price tags. When he finds something he likes, he just... You know, he just gets it because I've been looking for this. This means a lot to me, and I'm going to get it. So I don't even think he looked at the price tag. To this day, I don't know that he knows how much I paid for those pair of pants. I got home with it. He just looked at it, you found it. And I'm trying to think, is this worth the $70? Well, I did think that way because I'm pretty cheap, you know. Barb would understand. She's very frugal like me. And so I just said, oh, yeah, it's great, isn't it? I found it, you know. And so he just ripped the price tag off, threw it in the garbage, never even looked at it. Am I glad? Yes, because I repented. It's one thing to say, I'm sorry I did that, but are you going to do anything about it to try to fix it? You know, are you going to try to make up for it if there's a way you can? So number three part of self-forgiveness is you have to accept that forgiveness. Forgiveness is like a gift. You know, they're doing all these numbers, and if some of you don't even look at your numbers, I'll take your prize. But if you don't look at your numbers, you're not even going to accept the gift that she's given out to you. But forgiveness is like that also. You have to accept it. It's like the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Some of you have been hearing about the gift of God. Some of you know you need salvation, but you've never accepted that gift personally. You've heard about God and how he sent Jesus to die on the cross, but you never accepted the gift. Well, forgiveness is something you have to accept. That means that when you ask God to forgive you for whatever mess up you did, you say, God, I accept your forgiveness and thank you for doing it. You know what the Bible says? When God forgives you, the Bible says in Psalm 103, verses 11 through 13, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. So as far as the east and west never meet. So that's where he puts them in the depths of the seas because he doesn't want to dig them up. But we're the ones that dig up the mess ups. And we just won't forgive ourselves. You know, we don't even tell people that we've messed up. Now, I don't think I'm not going to go around and tell all the things I'm ashamed of that I've done. But when something comes up that's... I could use to teach somebody, I'm going to tell you how I messed up. And some of us need to just be, you know what? I forgive myself. It's okay. I accept that I'm human. I accept that I say the wrong things. I accept that I do the wrong things, and I'm just going to forgive myself and go on. The last thing is probably my favorite point. The whole reason why I'm teaching on this, because I got so encouraged when I was doing this study and read this. The Bible says in Mark 14, 29 through 30, it says, but Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. Good old Peter. How many of you relate to Peter? I say things and then I think. You know what I mean? I say before I think. And Peter was one of those type of people. I relate to him. So he said, Lord, I won't deny you. Though everybody else does it, I won't do it. I promise, God. And Jesus looked at him and said, before the cock crow twice, you're going to deny me three times. Wow. How would you feel if you messed up to the Son of God? Well, you know what? When I said those wrong things to that lady and offended her, I was messing up to the Son of God. You know, what we do is we measure sin. This is really bad. This is, you know, I think all sin's bad in God's eyes. And I'm supposed to confess it. Lord, I'm sorry. I did such and such, and be very specific about how you did it. And then you go on and accept the forgiveness and then repent. If there's a way you can fix it, make up for it, great. Then the Bible says in Mark 14, 66 through 72, and as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little later after, they that stood by and said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse. He said, no, I'm not. And so much so, he went against his own principles and cursed. He said, and he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. And the second time the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus saith unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. He was disappointed in himself. And you know what? When I mess up, I'm disappointed in myself. I'm sad that I'm 58. I'm going to be 59 next month. I'm looking forward to 60 because I'm getting closer to Social Security. Whatever little bit, it's going to help. I don't know what little bit. And then part of the insurance, you know what, Medicaid, what do they call it, Medicare. So I'm looking forward to getting older. You know, if you got to get old, you got to have something to look forward to about it. Now, what's really bothering me right now, though, Miss Ogdy, is people are constantly asking me if I get the senior discount. I said, well, if I look that old, don't you think you ought to give it to me no matter how old I am? I have said that twice in the last week, and I thought, my bags are getting worse. You know, I just think, well, if I got to be old, and there's a little bit of me that wants to lie. You know what I mean? I don't know if, I know I've told that story here about how I used to get senior black coffees at McDonald's because they didn't card you. You know, I told you that. For years, I've gotten senior black coffees, and they never asked me if I was a senior, but I just thought, I'll just get a senior black coffee. I can justify any wrong that I do. But anyway, but now that when they say that you know, that they always, then they tell, you know, and then I have to ask, well, how old do you have to be to get, and they say 65, 62, and I say, I'm not there yet, but since I look it, don't you think, you know, you should give it to me, you know? I'm close. But they don't give it to me. But anyway, you know, he wept. He felt discouraged about himself. And Miss Ennis, I can just imagine Peter for those next couple days. 3 long days. And if I'd messed up for Jesus, I would be discouraged. I'd mope around. I'd sit, just, I wouldn't want to be around anybody that had followed him and not messed up, would you? You know, I'd be ashamed to be around the other disciples. So, you know, he can't believe I did this. I told him I wouldn't, and I did it. And I just think it replayed in his mind over and over and over again. And so the good part about this is, see, even when you do mess up, I want you to realize that God wants to use you again. Messing up doesn't take you off the servant's list. You know, you can still serve God. I don't know that you can serve in the same capacity. I'm not saying that, but you can still serve God. Look in Mark 16, 7. Mark chapter 16, verse 7. In Mark 14, we read about him messing up a couple of chapters later. And this is the most encouraging verse it should be the most encouraging verse to any of us that have messed up. You should underline it, mark it, remember this verse, because it shows the love of our Heavenly Father. It shows how much He cares about you as an individual. The Bible says, "But go." This is the angel speaking to them at the tomb, but go your way, tell his disciples, what's the next two words? And Peter. He knew. God knew Peter would not want to come. God knew Peter would say, you know what, I can't be a disciple anymore. I can't do anything. I can't serve God. I can't, you know, all the reasons why you just barely go to church. You know, all the reasons why you used to serve heartily in the church and you've stepped back and say, you know, I'm going to let somebody else do it. You know, you say it like that, but really it's because of the way you feel about yourself that you stop serving. And that's what I think is the saddest part about it. There are people that are going to miss your influence because you've been so discouraged about how you messed up. And it says, and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him, as he said unto you. I can imagine when they went back and they had to go find Peter. I really don't think he was with the rest of the disciples. I think they had to go find Peter and say, hey, he said to make sure you knew to come see him. And the Bible, of course, we all know Peter did. And then in Acts chapter 2, Peter preached and 3,000 were added to the church. God used him again. Hallelujah. Did you mess up? God wants to still use you. Don't use that excuse. I'm not usable anymore. You can still serve. I'm not saying you're going to serve in the same capacity, but there's something you could do. You know what? If I was in a church and I could no longer serve as a teacher or whatever thing you think you can't do, I'd be asking to clean the bathrooms. I really would. You say, Loretta, I really would. Because I want God to, I'm not serving that church because of the church. You know, and if you serve God because you're trying to serve people and you want people to see you, you're doing it for the wrong reason. I serve God because I want God to know He is the most important in my life. I just want to give Him my all. I want to find a way to show Him I love Him by serving Him. I don't owe it to Him. It's not going to buy my salvation. It's not going to get me a better place in heaven. I don't know. You know, I might get more crowns to throw at His feet. But what I'm saying to you is this. I serve God because I love Him, and I want to show Him I love Him. And those of you that are discouraged by your mess ups and you stop serving Him, it's wrong. And you're letting Satan have his way in your life. So I'm just trying to encourage you. Serve God. Let him know that you love Him and thank Him for His forgiveness. Accept that forgiveness. Thank Him. Repent. If there's something that if you messed up with somebody and you need to apologize, apologize to him and then go on. But let's stop dredging up the past. Let's stop remembering all the things that we've done and just let God work in our lives. Show us His forgiveness. Father, thank you so much for these ladies. I thank you that you have worked in my heart in such a way. Oh, I have so many things that I would never tell anybody I've done. I'm ashamed of them. But I know that if when I bring them up, I'm reminding you because you've forgotten them. Because I've already asked you to forgive me. Now, Lord, there's a host of people here that needed this morning. And I pray that you'll show them your forgiveness. Remind them that you've forgiven them. And help them to accept that forgiveness and to accept that and help them to get back serving you in some way or some capacity.